Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
And Father, that is why now we bow in your presence, expecting you to speak, waiting on you to speak, knowing that we need a word to order our lives, to pluck us from despair, to shake us up out of our complacency, to comfort us in our struggles. And we come now expecting that word. Take these next few moments, quiet our hearts. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher here today, and we pray that he would take the divine truths and would make them clear to our hearts and minds. In Christ's name I pray, amen. There are some lessons in life which are so crucial that the sooner you learn them, the better off you'll be. There's one particular lesson that I believe Christians need desperately to learn, and yet unfortunately many of us have not yet learned that lesson. When you come to grips with the issues we're going to deal with today, it will change the way you live. You know, it is amazing how many songs have been written about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sins. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? And we speak about the grace the choir just sung. It's all because of God's amazing grace. And it was God's grace that delivered us from our sins. It was God's grace that set us free, that made us children of God. But you know something? Many times when we speak of grace, we focus only on grace's ability to save us. And we feel that once we have been saved, now somehow grace no longer is as crucial and as vital as it should be. May I say this to you, and the sooner you learn it, you only live for God by his grace. And any time you begin to understand that, the whole way you approach life is going to be different. And this morning, by God's grace, I want to take you on a journey with me. Sometimes it's going to be a little rough, but it is crucial. I want to take you to the mountaintop where you can live for God and you can see how it is done, and by God's grace you'd want it to. I'll be drawing upon the example and the experience of a man of God as is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it was read in your hearing, but I want you to read with me again and to think about it as we read. You will remember from last week that Paul found himself placed in a difficult situation where he said, people now are compelling me to boast, to prove my credentials. People have come and they have challenged my legitimacy as a servant of God, as an apostle. And because of that, and because the church at Corinth is demanding credentials, I'm going to show my credentials. And in showing his credentials, he said, the things I'm going to boast about are my weaknesses. And Paul went through and listed a catalog of challenges he's been through. Beaten, shipwrecked, betrayed, all kinds of things, stoned. And Paul said, I will still live for God. And we learned that if you're going to be a servant, you're going to have to be committed. But as we get into chapter 12, we begin to understand what it is that kept Paul going. And Paul's life now begins to make more sense to me as I look again over chapter 12. And I pray to God that he would open your eyes so you would see what makes a difference. Listen now as we read these first few verses. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Beloved, there are some places that you must enter very carefully, very reverently, very gently. You can't rush in to some places. I believe this portion of scripture is one of those places that you must walk reverently into. You have a man of God opening the deep recesses of his heart, showing us something that he deliberately, for 14 years, Paul has kept this secret. Paul has never explained to anybody what has happened. For more than 14 years, he has carried this thing. And he has come to the place, as he's writing to the Corinthians, where he feels compelled to speak this. And so he opens up an era of his life deep inside, and he allows us a glimpse of it. And I tell you, do not tread in here carelessly. Look at a man's suffering. Look at a man's struggle with God. But then I want you to see a man's triumph in God, because God has some lessons for you. We're talking about God's sufficient grace. And I want to challenge you today that you will go on by grace alone. You will find out that life can only be lived triumphantly by grace alone. I told you we're going to get to the mountaintop of triumph. But before we can get there, you and I are going to have to walk through the valley of suffering. Severe suffering. We must look, because I believe some of us will only begin to understand what's going in our lives as we understand what is unfolding in the life of the Apostle Paul here. We find a man who is given an unsought burden. Paul finds himself carrying a burden he didn't go and look for. Did you notice the first 6-7 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul is going about his business, seeking to live for God. And God, it wasn't Paul who went and begged God for a vision or any kind of revelation. Paul was going about his business trying to live for God. And the Bible says God gave Paul a revelation. God in his supreme wisdom understood that Paul needed to see some things. In fact, the things were so special and so different that God said to Paul, I'm going to show them to you, but you can't even tell anybody. And it's amazing to me that God wouldn't even allow Paul to tell us what he saw and heard. He said, I saw some things. Paul said, in fact, I don't even know if I was in my body or out of my body. Isn't it amazing when you get before the presence of God that the earthly things just lose their value? Paul said, I can't tell you if I was still in my body or if God took me out of my body. In fact, he said, God caught me up. It's the same kind of word like the rapture. Caught up and took me up into the third heaven, into his very presence, and showed me some things that I can't even talk about. I'm not permitted to speak of those things. Wow. You know, there are a lot of Christians who would just do anything for that kind of experience. To have God take you aside and show you some things that other people can't even see, you can't even talk about. And if that happened to some of you, you would walk through here saying, man, God has shown me some things. I am way above other Christians. But hold on. Before you start praying for the revelation and the vision, understand that with that kind of revelation comes the need for a special kind of burden. Listen to me now. Paul said, I saw these visions. And then he said in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance, the greatness of the vision, the revelation. there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You know, I'm finding out that people who God will bless greatly also, along with the blessing, have to carry a burden. And it is not usually the material blessings that bring the burden. It's the people who God will bestow rich spiritual blessings on. We have Paul here before us as an example. But can I speak to you about John, St. John the Divine, who received the revelation? You know where he was? He was on the island of Patmos. Exiled on Patmos because the emperor said you can't come back home. Go live over Patmos. And John had to struggle with being separated from all he loved and cared about. But while he was on Patmos, God caught him up in the spirit and showed him the things that were to come hereafter. Great blessing, great burden. Should I tell you about the apostle Peter? Jesus said to him, Peter, upon you I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against you. Peter, you're going to stand up and count in the kingdom of God. But Peter had to live with the knowledge that he denied his Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. And I'm going to allow him to sift you. Because the thing about wheat, when you sift wheat, you throw away the chaff and the real wheat remains. And God said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter could never get proud. That is why when Peter wrote his epistle, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because Peter understood. Every day he got up, he remembered when a lady said to him, do you know Jesus? And he denied him. What a burden to carry through your life. Everybody knew about it. The boasted disciple who ran away before a little young lady. Great blessing, but great burden. The Bible says Paul was given revelations and visions. But the Bible said, no, along with that, so that, you notice he repeated it twice. He said in verse 7 when he started, it's like a sandwich. Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the agent or messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Well, what is a thorn in the flesh? Well, it speaks of something that is painful. It speaks of something that is extremely unpleasant. Have you ever had somebody take a splinter and stick it under your fingernail? Or stick it up in your skin and you can't get it out? This word thorn, you know, it just speaks of a really sharp object. It could even be a hook, something caught under your flesh. I know anytime I get a splinter, no matter how small it is, I want it out. Take it out, please. And the Bible said Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. A burden he didn't go seeking for. Do you ever feel like that? You're walking with the Lord and you're just trying to live, and all of a sudden there seems as if a burden is placed upon you. Not because you tried to be anything different, but God knows that in order to work with you, he must place a burden upon your life. Listen, can I tell you some other things about this burden? You notice he said, it was the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. He not only had this burden, but he had a foe that I call an unconscionable foe. You know some people call unconscionable? They are wicked. And they don't have any conscience. When they set out to deal with you, they deal with you harsh. God, listen to this now. God said to Satan, you can give Paul a thorn in the flesh. You stop and think about that. You think about Satan and what you know about Satan. I don't know what the thorn was. But I believe when Satan went into his little armory where he kept all his real afflictions and stuff, Satan looked around and picked out the worst one he could find. You know how I know that? You go back and read your book of Job. You remember when God said to Satan, you can't touch Job. You know what Satan did? He did what he felt was the worst possible thing he could do to Job. Satan said, God, Job is serving you only because you bless him. And so as far as Satan was concerned, it was the blessing of God, the material blessing of God that kept Job serving him. So when God said to Satan, you can't touch Job, what did Satan do? Immediately he went and took every possession Job had in one day and made it look like it was God who took it from him too. Fire from heaven descended. It looked like it's God. You know what that tells us about Satan? When Satan is going to attack you, he looks for the area that he knows is your weakest in. The thing is most important to you, and that is where he attacks. And that is why it is so difficult. When the agent of Satan comes, when Satan is allowed to afflict you, Satan is going to do what he thinks is the worst thing because he intends to break you. So because of who Satan is, I know that he found the worst thing he could do to Paul. Not only do I believe this thorn was so difficult because of who Satan is, but I believe also because of who Paul was. You understand who Paul was? Paul was the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to invade Satan's kingdom and his outposts and going to all these cities where idolatry was rife, bringing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and casting out the forces of Satan, as it were, and redeeming people for Jesus Christ. And Satan get a chance to deal with him. My goodness. It is like taking a policeman who has captured many criminals and put them behind bar and put him in the same cell with those criminals. The criminal said, "Thank you. We were just waiting." And I believe because of who Paul was, Satan really wanted to destroy this man. And so the Bible said the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. It was like a relentless battle, an unrelenting battle. Every day this thing would confront Paul. It would beat him, as it were, as he speaks about the agent of Satan to buffet him. I am reminded of some of the boxing matches I have watched on TV. And I don't watch as many as I used to watch when I was young. I used to be a big boxing fan, you know. I used to love to watch boxing. There are some fights I've seen I don't want to see again. Because obviously, one opponent was stronger than the other. And it was a one-sided affair. I remember the last time I even watched Mike Tyson fight. I was so embarrassed and sorry for him. But you know what happens? In boxing, there is a referee who will step in and stop the fight. And I've seen them do it over and over. Here's a man getting badly beaten and he can't respond. And the referee steps in and stops the fight. You know what's happening here with Paul? He says, "I'm in this boxing ring. And this age." I think to me then that in the midst of this suffering, we find Paul going up the mountainside of supplication. Paul is going to go to God. In the midst of his suffering, he knows where to go. He says, I am being buffeted by the agent of Satan. In verse 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Listen, Paul knew where to go when difficulties came. In the midst of his struggles, he knew how to go to God. And he said, "Lord, I am having a hard time and I'm coming to you to speak to you." Where do you go when you're having a hard time? Beloved, I believe this is one of the most touching verses in this portion. Verse 8 and the start of verse 9. Understand with me that Paul went to God in earnest, honest prayer. Paul knew God. It was Paul who wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So Paul knew that he could go to God in difficulties. It was Paul who wrote, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, to the only wise God." So Paul said, "I know God, that God is able." Paul also knew that God had used even him to heal others. And so Paul goes to God and he makes his petition and he says, "God, I'm asking you. I'm in this situation where I am under extreme pressure, severe suffering. This thorn is in my flesh, and I recognize that it comes from Satan. You're any of my enemy. And Lord, if you would remove this thorn, I could serve you better." Because even in the book of Galatians, he spoke about his temptation in the flesh that the people didn't despise. And he said, "Lord, if I never had this struggle, if I never had this problem, I really believe I could serve you better. Lord, please take it away from me." I believe Paul got up from his knees with every confidence, thinking God was going to take it from him. To his utter shock, God said, "No, I'm not taking it from you." I don't know if Paul, it's almost like Paul couldn't believe this. And so Paul goes back a second time. Do you see him there on his knees before God? "Father, I'm asking you," and even as I think of Paul, I have visions of our Lord Jesus Christ as he goes before his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane and says, "Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass. Lord, I'm asking you, take this thing from me." And the second time, God says to Paul, "No, Paul, I'm not taking it from you." I believe maybe some kind of confusion begins to well up in Paul's mind. "Lord, don't you see how I'm suffering? Lord, don't you understand that Satan thinks he's getting the upper hand? God. And the Bible says now he goes back a third time and he's begging God to set him free. Have you been there? We have been on your knees about something that seems so important to you. The result you desire seems so right, seems so logical, seems like it is the only thing that God should do. Lord, deliver me. Let this thing depart from me. And God says to you again, very gently, very kindly, very lovingly, but very firmly, no, I will not take it from you. Beloved, that is the kind of thing that tests your faith to the very foundations. When you go to God about something that is important to you, something that you may even believe is harming you, something that you want God to remove, and you ask God, and God says to you, I will not do it. I'm going to let it stay. Many Christians have backslidden at this point. Well, God, if you won't do it, that's it. I'm going to go do my own thing. You know something? God made a profound statement to Paul. It is a statement that is life transforming. And I hope by God's grace, I can help you to understand it. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Paul, I will not take the thorn away from you because my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What in the world was God saying to Paul? Because, beloved, when you begin to understand this, you recognize that this is what will lift you now out of despair and lift you to the mountaintop of supremacy in your life. Suffering, supplication, but supremacy. When we approach the mountaintop, we hear Paul singing and rejoicing. And some of us say, well, God must have taken away the thorn from Paul. God must have set him free. And you're running up there to join Paul in singing and saying, thank God for taking it away. And you notice that God has not taken away the thorn in the flesh. What is amazing to me about the middle part of verse 9 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is that nothing has changed, but everything has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed, but every single thing has changed. Paul didn't lose the thorn in the flesh, but somehow something about Paul and his whole aspect and view of the thorn in the flesh was changed. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. What was God saying to Paul? Paul, what I am able to supply to you is enough to sustain you in any situation of life. Paul, I am a good God. I'm a gracious God. I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what you're struggling with. I am able to sustain you through it. Child of God, let me repeat that so you understand it. There are times when you must carry some heavy burdens. There are times when you and I would prefer to take the burden off and put it down and walk away from it, never having to see it again. But God is saying, listen to me, if you have to carry that burden for the rest of your life, I am able to give you what you need. I will enable you to carry it. I will infuse you with strength. I hesitate to use this kind of illustration, but I will. You know, when these athletes take performance-enhancing drugs, it is not that the race gets shorter for them. You know, if it's 100 meters, they don't shorten it and say, all right, you can run 50. But something in their bodies make them able to run the 100 faster than regular people. I listened to some of the older athletes one time talking, you know, on a talk show on TV, and they said, you know, We're not making any accusations, but it is interesting to us to see some of these younger runners. They said, when we were running 400 meters, when you got to the 300 meter mark, you started fading a little and you had to push. These present day athletes look like when they get to the 300 meter mark, that is when they get added strength and start pushing harder. And they said, we don't understand how they are able to do that. And here's what we're saying now. It is not that God has to lessen the load, but God will sustain you so you can bear it. And that is what the Lord was saying to Paul. You know, I hear Christians every day saying, the real proof of God's strength and love for me is if God will take the affliction away. And God is saying, the real triumph of grace is when the affliction stays, but the Christian is able to triumph even with it.
It is the man who is handicapped running with the so-called healthy people and still winning the race. Because God has sustained him. And God said to Paul, Paul, I am able to give you grace. My strength is demonstrated, becomes perfect when you are weak. And the songwriter has written, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He gives us mercy when we can't carry on. Robed in his strength, the weak becomes strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Listen. God is waiting for somebody to strengthen. But God's strength can only be used in your life when you are weak. You see, when you and I feel we are strong, we go on and do our own thing. If I am strong enough to do it, I don't need your help. If I have something to lift up, and I can lift it up alone, I don't ask anybody's help. Or you give me a big thing that I can't manage, I have to say to somebody, no, give me a hand, lift it. You know what God is saying? When you are weak, when you feel that you can't manage, that is when I can move into your life. Because you have abandoned your own effort. Too often, we get in God's way because we think we're so strong and we're going to do it our way. And God says, listen to me, it can't work that way. My strength, and it's only logical that my strength is going to be shown up when you are weak. No. In order for you to understand then God's grace, you and I must be prepared to accept God's plan. Listen to Paul. In verse 9, the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather, and I'm emphasizing rather, glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What does the word rather mean? What does it suggest? It suggests that you have options, doesn't it? I'd rather have this than that. I'd rather have chicken for dinner than... I'd rather have whatever for whatever. You understand? I have a choice. I'd rather have this. Now listen to what is happening to Paul here. Earlier, Paul was begging God to set him free from the affliction. Here's what Paul is saying now. I would rather have the affliction than be set free from it. You ready for that kind of thinking? I would rather glory in my infirmities. I am going to accept what God is doing. I'm not going to fight God anymore. You see, Paul could have determined that for the next 14 years, every day he's going to get up and say, God, you have to take it away from me. God, you have to take it away from me. He's going to say, I'm not going to stop bombarding heaven until God takes it away from me. But a great part of living by God's grace is faith in the Almighty God, a willingness to trust God with your life. I would rather glory in the infirmities if it will cause the power of Christ to abide upon me. That word rest means the power of God will come and dwell upon his life. And he says, if I need to be weak for the power of God to appear upon me, I want to be weak every day of my life so the power of God can rest upon me. I would rather glory in my weaknesses. Lord, make me weak. Lord, allow the difficulties because I accept what you are doing. Beloved, if the problem you are in is because of sin, confess it and move away. So if you're suffering because of sin, don't sit down there and say, well, you know, I'm going to bear this. Confess the sin and let God set you free. Beloved, if there's something that comes in your life and you are able of your own self to change it, go ahead and change it. But listen, if the change must come from God and you have asked God and God said to you, no, I'm not going to, then rest in God's grace. There are some people who have been begging for healing for all their lives. And the illness has made them bitter because they will not trust God's grace. Yet I'm reminded of one like Franny Crosby, who was blind, and yet some of the greatest songs of Christendom have been written out of a heart of thankfulness of that blind woman because she learned to accept what God was doing. Beloved, there are some people who struggle. You have a difficult husband. You have a difficult wife. You have some difficult children. You have a difficult job. And all you can do is complain and complain. God, take this away from me. And God said, what about my grace that is sufficient for you? And you said, no, but Lord. Listen now. God said to the apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, Lord, if your grace is sufficient, then I will take the difficulty. I would rather have it than be set free, because maybe if you cut me loose, I will not have your power upon my life. And some of us, if God cut us loose today, we get up off our knees and we don't walk close to him anymore. Glory in the infirmity. That's tough preaching, but it is what God wants. And not only do you accept it, now, are you ready for this? You can even begin to anticipate the difficulty. Have you read verse 10? When you read verse 10, you think Paul has gone completely out of off his rocker. Listen to Paul. Therefore, I take pleasure. You understand that word? The word means to relish something. You know, like when somebody again set dinner before you, and maybe, I don't know, you like dessert more than anything else, and they give you your favorite dessert, and you can't wait to get to it, and when you put it on your lip, you say, and you just let it stay there a bit so you enjoy it. That is the kind of word Paul is using here. I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in all kinds of distress. How could Paul do that? He said, I do that because when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what Paul was doing now? He was looking beyond the actual difficulty and understanding that this is a pathway to God's strength and glory upon my life. And if that is how it is, then God bring on the difficulties. So can I put it to you in plain Jamaican parlance? God wants to get you to the place where you get up out of your bed. You're living with a difficult wife, sir. And you get up with anticipation saying, I'm going to see how God is going to use my difficult wife today to move me a step closer to him. Madam, you're living with a difficult husband. And you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, I am anticipating this day. Because I know how it is for some of you. When you're facing the difficulties, you don't want to get out of bed. But you're going to get out of bed saying, okay, God, I am ready. The devil has his agent to buffet me, but I have God to strengthen me. Lift me up, I'm going to face it. Beloved, you have that illness, that physical infirmity. You've always wanted to be set free from it. And you're saying, God, I am going to get up today and face this infirmity with your strength and with your grace. The difficult job, the difficult co-worker, my difficult finances. I don't know where the money coming from. But God, you are going to demonstrate your power. And I'm looking forward to that. And some of you say, Pastor, you can't say that because you don't know anything about suffering. Maybe. But can I tell you something? I'm speaking on the testimony of somebody who does. And somebody who has known God's grace to sustain. I don't have to prove to you that I have suffered. The point is that it doesn't matter where you are, who you are. God is able to sustain you if you will rest in him. Beloved, it is only by God's grace. His grace is sufficient. But you are going to have to accept it. Listen, if you don't get to the place you're willing to say, God, I accept your plan, I accept your program, I yield myself, work in my life, then you'll never experience his grace. You'll be bitter. You'll be complaining. You will be defeated. There's some of you who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior because you're scared. You don't understand that it is the grace of God that will sustain you. You don't understand that once you have settled the issue, that I'm going to live by God's grace, the devil can't stop you and the devil can't overcome you. You see, this occurred early in Paul's salvation. And that is why when Paul walked into town and they stoned him, Paul said, well, no big deal. If God can wake me up back after the stoning, I continue moving. That is why when they beat Paul and they ostracized him and they did all kinds of things to him, he said, it is no problem because God's grace is able. And I'm sending you back out to your circumstances with the knowledge that if you will yield to God, God will work the situation out in your life. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He gives us mercy when we can't carry on. Robed in his strength, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Shall we pray? We live in a world where life is hard. And sometimes as your people, we carry burdens and we've been to you begging you to take them away. And yet, Lord, you can give us victory over these things because your grace is sufficient. And I'm asking you today for some people who need to accept the sufficiency of the grace of God that you'd work in our lives. Lord, may the Holy Spirit bring strong conviction upon us and help us to be obedient to you. With our heads bowed.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.